Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Message might be 2 to 3 hours. Okay? Yeah. Amen. So you guys better hold on tight. Amen. I'm kidding. I won't be that long, but it's true. The Hispanic churches sometimes, my gosh, they go on long. Praise God. But if I could bring the attention, I know Pastor, the Sunday school this morning was about the Word of God and within Psalms 119 and just about how we could make our ways straight or what we could do. And it's about listening or obeying or hearing and holding dear or close to the Word of God. And if you guys didn't know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary added about 5,000 new words this year alone. 5,000 new words, amen. That's insane. And then Cambridge Dictionary added more than 6,000 new words. And I've heard a lot of these words, but I'm not going to say them because I'm not sure if it's the right context. I don't want to say a word that I think is appropriate and ends up being not because the young culture says, oh, you shouldn't have said that, brother. Right? So I'm not going to say it, but you can look them up. But words are increasing, and perhaps the meaning is just the same over and over of quote-unquote new words, just to create new words for the same ideas that we already know. But knowing that about those additions reminded me about something, that every generation may have new words, new trends, new commodities, or new amenities, but at the heart of every generation is a fallen, sinful, fearful, confused people that need words of hope, that need words of deliverance, and that need words that will lead and teach them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sermon or the title for the message today is Unchanging Words. Unchanging Words. Amen. Praise God. They're at the core of human word choice. We have a lot of things to say, right? And a lot of things that we can express with our words. But at the core of our humanity, I think there's only two messages of what it really comes down to. One is one message that can come from us or out of us is born from flesh, born from lies, and born from sin. And the other message is born from spirit, from truth, and from holiness. One of these messages says that you are enough. The other says that God is enough. Amen. So today we're going to go over the differences between the words of man and the words of God. To clarify, I may say the word of God, which is the entirety, and I may say the words of God interchangeably, which is the words within it. I think we get that. But just in case, amen. I think, Pastor, you shared or might have shared this verse in the morning, but I'll share it here again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." That is the word of God. Amen. So let us first observe that man's words are life or death. Amen. We're going to start with man's words, and then we're going to go into the words of God or God's words. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Amen. So I ask you today, what words do you allow or do I allow to come out of our mouths? Do we allow to come out of our mouths? I ask because the words of man without godly guidance lead us to belittle Scripture. They lead us to give glory to man or to ourselves and not to God. They lead us to pick and choose just certain parts of the Bible to follow. They lead us to tear down one another. They lead us to think higher than ourselves than we ought to, and they lead us to separate ourselves from God instead of unto God. Ungodly words lead to ungodly ideas. Ungodly ideas lead to ungodly actions as well as ungodly faith, or better said, faith in things or concepts that are not found in Scripture. Poor word choices are not just for those who are not in communion with the Lord, but it could also happen to those of us who claim we are in communion and yet still make those poor word choices. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 26, that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I can summarize it this way, that the words of men and women that are not under submission to God are not to be trusted or taken to heart. If we go back to the book of Jeremiah, this is what the word of man says. Jeremiah 18:21, I'm reading from the New Living Translation for this specific verse. But the people replied, "Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires." And this is humanity in a nutshell, which is replying to God's messenger pridefully and ignorantly, or making less a word or a warning from God to turn away from sin and instead doubling down on erroneous or misguided and evil ways. Can somebody say, "Jesus, I need you. Jesus, we need you." Hallelujah. What could have been said to these people in Jeremiah that merited such a response? With that question in mind, I'll make my next point, which is the words of man lead to emptiness, but the words of God lead to repentance. Amen. The words of God are not like those of man, and praise God for that. As we read at the beginning, God tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and that there he would let him hear his words. So he had a message for him, but Jeremiah had to move. Jeremiah had to go somewhere before God would let him hear what that message was. And the word that God had for Jeremiah, or the words, were primarily for Judah, or the house of Israel. And as Jeremiah arrives, he sees a potter working with clay on a wheel, as potters do. And as the potter is doing so, the Bible says that the clay was marred, or that it was spoiled, and that he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. And as Jeremiah is witnessing this, the word of the Lord comes to him. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 18, chapter 18, verse 5 through 11, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done?' declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return, every one, from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." This is a word for someone today. Return. Let us return from our evil ways, if there are any in our lives, and let us amend our ways and our deeds so that there will be a blessing and so that we could be whole again with the Lord. God is a God that can build up, but he is also a God that breaks down. And here is a message to all the nations. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." The Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9, "Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among the earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or 'Your work has no handles?'" I can't answer the many whys that we may have as to why things do or don't happen in our lives. But what I can tell you today is that God made you. What I can tell you today is that God formed us, that God made us. Amen. And if we are made by God, then it is his interest to use us. It is God's interest to use you and me. Amen. If we want to be used by God, then we need to seek to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And those are not my words. Those are of the Lord's. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, the Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." And it starts with repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells us, "And Peter said to them," as he had finished sharing his message, his sermon, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." God is a God that gives us opportunity after opportunity for repentance. An opportunity that to start again is here today. An opportunity to start again is here this morning. An opportunity to let God take the burden off your past mistakes, of your worries, of your fears, and anything else that you may have been living with and carrying for years and years and years. The Lord is here to take it from you today. He wants to unload that burden off of your shoulders if you just listen and accept the word and even come to the altar at any time that you decide. Amen. You don't have to wait until altar call. If you feel it in your heart or in your spirit to come to the altar or where you're at to start praying, please do so this morning. But repentance makes a way for my third and final point this morning, which is the words of God lead to life. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 39 says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." If we want to know who Jesus is, we need to be searching. If we search, we will be prepared and ready regardless of what may happen in and around our lives. Amen. And I feel like the problem for many, and I might be wrong, is that eternal life doesn't seem like such a big incentive. Eternal life just seems so far away and so small, maybe compared to something that we can get right now. Amen. And I was hearing some words that I don't remember what podcast I was into at some point, but they made the point that people can or are willing to make a decision or to act upon a choice that they claim they can't or don't or don't want to, but they just don't have the incentive to. And I tested it on my son, Mateo. Yeah, we were at the park on Friday, and I always like to try safely, of course, push him to do things that he's not comfortable. He claims that he can't or won't do. And there is this like jungle gym and the bars, and every time I always tell him, "Hey, you wanna? I can hold you. I'll hold you up." And well, he kept saying, "No, I don't want to. I can't. No, I don't want to. I can't." And I said, "Okay, fine. You won't. Okay. So what about this?" I said, "How about if you go back, or you do it, and then go back and forth while I'm holding you? I'll get you an ice cream cone at the end." He said, "Yeah, okay." He was excited and fearless. He did it. Of course, I was holding on to him, but he had no regard of whatever fear or whatever it was that made him say no or I can't prior. He was able to do it because he had an immediate incentive in mind, or he knew that he was going to get the ice cream cone after. Amen. But we're all just about the same regardless of age, right? We don't stop reading things or don't stop saying certain things or watching certain things or listening to certain things or being involved in certain things or stop thinking certain thoughts or stop treating people certain ways many times, not because we can't, but because to our flesh it is easier to pick up sin every day than it is to pick up our cross. There is no time to focus on worldly pleasures when you're focused on dying. The cross was the instrument used to kill Jesus. And neither the instrument nor man could prevent Jesus from fulfilling his word. And I will go now to Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 7, just so we see prophecy fulfilled. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." After all that we just read or listened to, I ask you, what cross are you carrying, or are we to be carrying? Ask yourself as well, what led Jesus to have to carry a cross and be crucified and killed in such a humiliating way in the first place? And it was his message. It was the miracles that followed him. It was his approach towards the people that were in sin and that were in need. The inability to influence, manipulate, or break the man Jesus with external words or actions prepared the way for his death. To pick up your cross is to deny your flesh and to willingly say, "I am ready to give everything up for the love of you, Jesus." Today, that doesn't sound or that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give up all your plans and your goals and your dreams as soon as you walk out this door. But I do have to tell you that your plans and your goals and your dreams cannot and will not be more important than the work that God wants to do in you and through you. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?'" Unchanging words. Unchanging words. And as I finish, or as I wrap this message up this morning, in Jeremiah chapter 20, some Bibles have a text heading from verses 7 through 18 that reads, Jeremiah's unpopular ministry. Jeremiah's unpopular ministry. It's definitely not popular to share a message that goes against the norm or what's normal or the way that things have always been. And Jeremiah went through difficult times, as did many other prophets in the Bible. And as I was thinking about Jeremiah, I was also reminded of Isaiah. I know that we just read parts or portions of Isaiah, but Isaiah was another prophet who came before Jeremiah. And his primary message to the people was that salvation, physical and spiritual, is of the Lord. Jeremiah's overall message can be condensed to declare God's judgment upon his people and call them to repentance and spiritual restoration. Jeremiah's calling comes in Jeremiah chapter 1, and his reaction when he is called is of insecurity and maybe doubt because of his abilities and his age and his personality. But we can say that because it is not the only instance where a similar reaction is expressed by Jeremiah. On the other hand, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord ask, "Whom shall I send and whom shall go for us?" And he immediately says, "Here I am, send me." Both men were called for a great purpose, and yet both had different personalities and qualities about them. Amen. And I invite you to stand at this time. But as we consider that, even so, even with their personalities and even with their doubts and with their insecurities or their boldness perhaps, amen, even so, God made sure to let them know that his word was with them, and therefore he was with them. God is looking to do the same with us today. He is looking for people that are bold and confident as much as he is looking for those that are timid and insecure. Maybe you feel like you fall somewhere in between, or maybe you're one extreme or you're the other. Well, at the end of the day, God's word makes the difference, and God's presence makes the entire difference. God is working in our hearts today because there is a great need for that message of repentance, for that message of life, of eternal life to be shared with the people. Amen. Today we celebrate all the nations, right? And every nation has its struggles, but every nation has a language or some shared language. And at the end of the day, the message of God, of the gospel, is the same regardless of the language that we may speak it in. The message that needs to draw us to repentance and to seek Christ and to seek Jesus and to seek to be baptized and to be filled with the Holy Spirit is the same regardless of what country or nation we are going into or we are visiting or that may be even coming into our own country. A lot of the times we want to go to other countries, but there are so many people that are just within the borders of our own country that sometimes it feels like maybe you don't have to go to another country to reach another country directly. Amen? Nothing wrong. I have not yet had the opportunity to visit another nation for a purpose of sharing the gospel in that way, and I have such a high regard and admiration and respect for missionaries and people that are appointed to do that. But I can tell you that such a great work and as important as the work is here in this very soil and in this very ground. Amen. At the end of the day, though, we have to understand that we are all just but clay and the Lord is our potter. It was that way many years ago and it is that same way today. Amen. And with that said, I open up this altar. And as you guys come up, if any part of this word has touched you, has spoken to you, amen, whether it's to step out, whether it's to grow in word, whether it's to leave behind our dictate or evil dictate of dictates of our hearts, amen, the Lord is here this morning. But before we ask or request anything, amen, that we feel that God has led us to do through this word, can we just worship God with our words? Could we just worship God with our words first before we ask anything? Could we just glorify God with our words? Could we just do that this morning, amen, before we ask or request anything? Could we just glorify God this morning? Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. And if you're looking for a word this morning that can help you get started, here is one word of praise towards God that never changes, which is holy. Holy, holy, hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 6, we find Isaiah's calling. But before his calling, we are also told of a vision from verses 1 through 6 where Isaiah sees the Lord. Amen. And as the team ministers this next song that's inspired by that passage of scripture, I believe that God will make himself known to many who have been praying that he does so in their lives today. Hallelujah. Praise him because of his love. Praise him because he is faithful. Praise him because he is good. Praise him because he is unchanging. Praise him because he is righteous. Praise him because he has not forgotten you. Praise him because of his mercy and of his grace. And praise him because despite of your past or my past choices or mistakes, you or we are still standing. Hallelujah.
thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.